Our readings this evening come from two sections of the Bible, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. The first one comes from the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 7 and verse 17. If you have a pew Bible with you, you can open it at page 605. And it reads in the following manner. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and will bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Our second reading comes from the New Testament, chapter 1 of the Gospel according to John, and that is found on page 87 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. And we will be reading from verses 1 through 5 and then 12 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. But as many as received him, to them he gave them the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me.' For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him." This is the word of the Lord. This evening, as we spend a few minutes of this very important time of year, we gather together to commemorate the birth of Jesus the Christ. You see, the birth of Jesus the Christ is not some mythical story, nor is it some made-up story by individuals who had nothing else to do 2,000 years ago. This is a story, this is an historical fact that had eons of years in the making. This has its beginning from the very beginning of time, when nothing existed. When heaven and earth did not exist, God was already putting this into plan. You see, after God created the heavens and the earth, God created humanity, God created our forefathers, God created Adam and Eve. And everything was fine, everything was perfect. Humanity had a relationship with God, and God had a relationship with humanity, everything was going just fine. But one day a particular character appears and begins to talk to the woman, begins to talk to Eve, and begins to make certain suggestions to her and put ideas into her mind. She began to think about these ideas, especially the one that said, "You will become like God." And when she considered that, she was quick to go to the tree where God has said, "Don't eat from this tree." And she pulled the fruit, took a bite off the fruit, and then looked at her husband and gave him the fruit. And when he took a bite off the fruit, humanity went downhill after that. From that moment on, humanity to this very day has been walking in darkness. Darkness because humanity decided to go against, to go against what God has simply asked them to do. Do not eat from this tree. God did not say, "Don't touch this tree." God simply said, "Don't eat from it." And because humanity has been in the dark, God went into action. The triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, began to work a plan in which God would, some way or another, God would bring humanity back into a relationship with Him. You see, the fact that God went into action gives us the point that God has always loved humanity. God does not discard humanity. God does not treat humanity indifferently. God does not distance himself from humanity as if God did not care. God has always been there. The one who has been running around, the one who has been trying to hide, the one who has been self-justifying him or herself has always been humanity, not God. And so God, the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit join together and they have a conversation. And out of that conversation, this plan came up that one of them, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one of them would one day come to the earth. And it is not God the Father, nor is it God the Holy Spirit, but it is God the Son. You see, God the Son is just as omnipotent and omniscient and all-powerful as the Father is and as the Holy Spirit is. And in Genesis 3:15, we see there the first announcement of the gospel, that he would come and that he would bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent would just bruise his heel. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 15, God makes a prophecy through the prophet Isaiah in saying that a virgin would be with child. A virgin would be with child, a young lady, a maiden, possibly between the ages of 12 and 13, because that is the age that Mary had. And that she would have a child, and this child's name would be Emmanuel, which basically means God is with us. Literally, Emmanuel means with us God, and when it is put into proper English, it is God is with us. And that was the name that Mary heard that evening that Gabriel spoke to her, that she would have a child and he would be Emmanuel, meaning God is with us, and that they were to name the child Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. And so this son, this God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, comes and steps into the human race as a human baby. John, the writer, tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and that this Word was with God, and that God was the Word. The fact that Jesus is called the Word of God simply means that Jesus is the very expression of who God is. Jesus is not some idea of who God is. Jesus is not some philosophy of who God is. Jesus is the Word of God, because he is the Word. He was in the beginning. He was with the Father. He was with the Holy Spirit. They were there. And Jesus is the very expression of who God is. Not only is Jesus the very expression of who God is, but this Word became flesh. Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, that baby that was born 2,000 years ago, that divine child, took upon himself human flesh. He took upon himself flesh and bone and blood. And not only did he take upon himself flesh and bone and blood, but in verse 14, we are told that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This idea of Jesus dwelling among us, this idea of God the Son dwelling among us, gives us this picture of someone pitching a tent somewhere, sort of tabernacling somewhere. It gives the idea, it gives the remembrance of that tabernacle that was erected in the time of Moses, when God instructed Moses to build a tabernacle so that he could abide with his people at that point in time. And when this temple was erected, the Bible tells us that a cloud descended upon this tabernacle, signifying that the glory of God would fill the tabernacle. The glory of God filled the tabernacle in such a way that no one was able to step inside of it. Not only did God dwell with the people of Israel in the tabernacle, but God also dwelt with the people of Israel in the temple. In the time of King Solomon, a temple was erected, and God's glory, God's presence also descended upon that temple. And God was with the people of Israel. So if God was with the people of Israel in and through the tabernacle, And if God was with the people in and through the temple, now God decides to come down and actually put on human flesh and dwell and live with humanity. And his glory was there. The apostle John tells us that we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. That he was full of grace and truth gives us the understanding of God's relationship to humanity, God's relationship with men and with women. The idea that the God of the Old Testament is a hard God is erroneous. For you see, Jesus came to represent that God. Jesus was with God. God the Son was with God the Father. And Jesus is the very expression, the radiance, the character of who God is. And not only was he full of grace and truth, but he has the fullness of glory in himself. Excuse me. He has the fullness of glory in him. And so that evening, that night, when the child was born, it was not simply an ordinary child. Yes, that child had human flesh. Yes, that child had bones. Yes, there was blood running through him. Yes, that child was crying. There wasn't a halo around him. That child was crying up a storm. And I'm sure that perhaps Mary was trying to console him. And perhaps Joseph. Gentlemen, how many times have we told our children, shh, quiet? Joseph was trying to quiet the baby as well. But then the scriptures tells us that there was this great appearance of angels. And these angels appeared before the house, before the shepherds, and said, glory to God in the highest. God the Son is born. And directing the words to the shepherds, the angel says, go to the house, for there lays the child that was promised. This child who represents God, this child who is God, this is the one who was in the beginning. This is the one of whom men and women 2,000 years ago were able to say, we have been in the very presence of God. For you see, no one has actually ever seen the face of God. But the only one who has ever seen the face of God is God the Son. And because God the Son, the only begotten God, who was in the beginning, who was with the Father, he is the one. He is the one who reveals to us who God is. Again, I bring the idea that the God of the Old Testament can't be the God of the New Testament, that the God of the New Testament is loving and kind and puts up with everything. The God of the New Testament in and through the person of Jesus, in and through that child that was born, is the same God of the Old Testament. Grace has always been at the forefront of God's relationship with humankind. Grace has always been in existence from the very beginning. And grace has never changed. The God of grace of the New Testament is the same God of grace in the Old Testament. The only difference was, or the only difference is, that the people of the Old Testament just did not get it. They simply did not understand God. And so God becomes human to see if his very own people would finally get to understand who God is. And he walked with them, and he talked with them, and he sat with them, and he ate with them, and he laughed with them. And even still, they did not understand it. For you see, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. It's not that the darkness overcame the light, but the scripture simply says the darkness did not comprehend it, did not understand it. Even today, in the 21st century, humanity still does not understand. Yes, on a night like tonight, we all get together to celebrate this evening. The exchanging of gifts, the time together with family, spending time together with our loved ones, how great that is. But do we understand what this night truly means? Do we understand that this was an evening, this was a night in which God, the Son, put aside his right as God and took upon himself human flesh to dwell among us so that we could understand the character of God. And not just understand the character of God, but also to finally understand that without God, I'm in darkness. If I don't have a relationship with God, I'm walking in darkness. If I don't have a true relationship with God, I continue to live in darkness. And Jesus came because he was sent by the Father so that humanity would be able to see the light and that it would no longer walk in darkness and not only see the light, but also come to the light. And not only come to the light, but also to be reconciled back to the Father. God sent his Son because he loves humanity. God sent his Son so that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent his Son so that we could be reconciled back to God. And it's not an action that you and I take. We have nothing to do with this. This is all God's doing. This is all God's doing. Even the very birth of Jesus, it's all God's doing. And why? It is God's doing because the God of the Old Testament, moved by loving kindness, moved by grace, allowed God the Son to come down. The angels were amazed that the very God, the Son, would step off the throne and come to abide with humanity, a people that wanted nothing to do with God. And so this evening, as we gather with our friends and our families in our homes, let us be mindful that the greatest gift that we can all receive, the greatest gift, even if we were to receive a check for $1 million, nothing can be compared with the gift that God has given. Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ. The little child born in Bethlehem. That is God's greatest gift given to humanity from eternity past to eternity in the future. That is and will always be the greatest gift God has given to humanity. For what? So that we would no longer walk in darkness, but that we would walk in the light. Beloved, walk in the light. Merry Christmas, and may God's blessing be upon you now and always. Amen.